Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome back to Greenwash this Monday morning. You're with Jaspreet and Don. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you had a chance to listen to some of the interviews and discussions earlier this morning. If not, there'll be a replay tonight. But for now, it's time for us to move on to the climate crazy news.
There can't be any. There can't be any left. There can't be.
Yeah. Each time we think we are done, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel gets deeper, Don.
Barrel gets deeper. So what's your prime suspect this week?
Well, this week, I can't go past this helpful guide that has been released by two of our councils. They call it, this document is called Personal Responses to a Warming Planet, What Can a Household Do? And the byline says this has been published for South Canterbury residents in 2024 by the Timaru District Council and the Vimity District Council. Handy dandy guide on how to do better for the world, how to be more sustainable. And I think it's quite relevant seeing that we began our chat this morning, Don and I, talking about, the various LTP consultations and nudge units. Well, I wonder if this sort of a document is going to lead to recruitment of nudge units by these councils, but that we shall see. But now it's time to have a look at why they think we need something like this. And why do they think we need something like this?
Well, I think we should even go back further. Why do we? Yeah, that's a fair question. But what I can't grasp is councils around New Zealand are employing these people in every council to sort of come up with these plans. Are they all different or something? Has every council in New Zealand got a different plan? Because that's not the way it appears. It appears that there's just mass duplication and a job scheme out of this. What say you, Jaspreet? Is your council different? Does it have this sort of stuff going on?
I just look back, Don, and I see we're a very small country, 5 million. We are wasting so much ratepayer money, resources on this. Like, one Delhi, 35 million residents in the greater Northern Capital Region, and one local municipality sort of sorts it. Not perfect, but hey, not too bad either, because everyone is still alive there, despite the summer, and it is quite hot in India right now. But these councils have said that we need to be doing something to lessen the impact of climate change, and they released this document to coincide with the World Environment Day on June the 5th to give advice to ratepayers who obviously don't know nothing. You know, they need to be told about how to manage issues such as transport, advice, etc., with illustrations by Polly Rabbits, a celebrated New Zealand illustrator. And they say that the guide has been produced in response to calls from the public for advice. Seriously? How many ratepayers? I'd like to know how many ratepayers ask the council, can you please tell us how, where we should, what we should be eating and what we should be driving? I think most ratepayers don't care anything beyond rates, rubbish, roading, just that as much. But the council's, Timaru Council's climate change advisor, Rice Taylor, has said last year in our Action for Climate Change public workshops, we were encouraged to assemble information. And how?
Of course they were.
So how people can reduce carbon emissions, which contribute to global warming. It's a simple and straightforward guide, you see. So it's not too big if you want to go and have a listen, have a read. It's on both Timaru and Vimity Council's climate change pages, 15-odd pages. And I straight away jumped to the section about eating. And it says that pea protein crops or protein require much less water per hectare than intensive dairying for cheese. Who would have thought? It also says to optimize both human nutrition and planetary health. The Eat Lancet Commission that works with the United Nations, we've spoken about it in the past, recommends adults consume no more than 98 grams of red meat per person per week. That's 15 grams a day. That's a mouthful, Don, of red meat. This is councils now telling ratepayers what they should be eating to save the world. How did we get to this?
Well, and that amount is less than you'd feed a cat, a small cat. I mean, that's how pathetic that is. Of course, we want to have vegan cats, don't we? Carnivores. We want. We've got people trying to alter their eating habits as well. I mean, that's how bad this gets. They're telling us that it would be nice if we only ate 15 grams. Would you say 15 grams a day of red meat?
Yeah, 98 grams a week.
Yeah, you would feed your little moggy far more per day. That's how stupid this gets.
It says take fewer baths and shorten your showers from 10 minutes down to 5 minutes to save 180 kgs of CO2 emissions a year from water heating.
Well, I'm not against having shorter showers. You have family that they just seem to think it goes on and on and on, and they have it on full blast. I'm pretty negative to that, but it's nothing about CO2 emissions.
It's not council business. It is not core council business.
We're doing this.
So for me, this took the cake in the climate crazy for the week. And meanwhile, while we are talking of CO2 emissions reductions and getting our knickers in a twist here, and I missed this headline, the newly elected Indian Prime Minister a month or so ago praised Prime Minister Narendra Modi, praised India's record coal production in April and May this year, because India, for the first time, crossed 1 billion tons of coal and lignite for the first time in 2023-24. He says this is a historic milestone for India, reflecting a commitment to ensuring a vibrant coal sector. No emissions nonsense there. This also ensures India's path towards Atmanirbharta, or energy independence, said Modi on a post on X. Meanwhile, here, Marsden Point has been mothballed. We want everyone on EVs. We have councils telling us what to eat, how long to shower for. Just brilliant.
Yeah, it's nirvana. It's paradise. it's something really that we all aspire to. You and I have often talked about how we economies of the world that flourish actually have plentiful, cheap energy. And you can't blame India for saying, let's use a billion tons of what is effectively bio coal, because it's been molded down over millions of years. So they're just releasing what was there, but a billion tons, because they want an economy that has low cost, abundant energy. Who can blame them? And of course, any country that doesn't want to have low cost, abundant energy will quickly find itself in trouble, because energy is what drives us all. It doesn't matter how you cut it. From whatever source, we need energy in terms of, to build our lives.
Ian Plimer, civilization advances one coal-fired plant at a time. Couldn't agree more.
It's a good line, isn't it? Good line. So, yeah, look, it's good on India. I mean, they're clearly thumbing their nose. And of course, the former boss of the IPCC was Indian. Come on, Jaspreet. These people are speaking out of both sides of their mouth. What's going on?
Well, you know what's going on. We have people here speaking from both sides of the mouth, Don, straddling the fence. They need to fall on one side now.
Well, that's true. And talking of that, it may have to happen here too in the UK. They've got a headline here is from the Exposé News. Corrupt and incompetent UK Climate Change Committee. You sent me this. Now, I read this and it reeked of hypocrisy. And this is what the Exposé highlighted. Some of the participants in that Climate Change Commission in the UK have investments that clearly will bias their output. And one of them, for instance, was involved as the head of climate change at bioenergy company Drax, D-R-A-X. And of course, they produce a lot of power in the UK, but I read the other day that they're bringing in wood pellets from Canada to power that one of their plants. Another one, outgoing chief executive Chris Stark, was caught by Guido Fawkes' website promoting a particular brand of heat pump. Oh, just happened that heat pumps were mandated in the UK, a bit like they were until a few weeks ago in the Netherlands. And there's other members that he goes on to talk about who have basically many conflicts. And there they were on the Climate Commission of the UK.
But that's all good, Don. The University of Cambridge in the UK, it's found a method similar to charging a battery to charge activated charcoal. And it'll be a low-cost, energy-efficient method to capture carbon dioxide directly from the air. It is all good. Problems looking for solutions, or solutions looking for problems.
Oh, gosh. It's weird, isn't it? We just got to keep reminding people. When the world got down to 180 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, we were close to terminal. There would have been no life at 150. We would have been basically slowly dying out. So more CO2 is a fabulous thing. Is it having a deleterious effect on weather events around the world? Doesn't look like it. By all parameters, it doesn't look like it. So how have they got away with this misinformation campaign for so long? I mean, I've talked to you about it. I bought into this 25 years ago. I thought, oh, there must be something to see here. It's only when you really get into it, you realize that we've been duped big time. Mm. Mm. So enjoy your CO2. Enjoy exhaling CO2 and, you know.
Celebrate being alive.
May you celebrate being alive, because may we do it as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was other stuff coming.
Well, last week, fortnight has been the time when the attack on fossil fuels has really been ramped up. You saw Vermont becoming the first state in the U.S. saying that you need to start not paying fossil fuel companies. These to start paying into a fossil fuel reparation funds of sort. We have councils in U.K. and I have no doubt in other places as well wanting to ban fossil fuel advertising. So you know that if you want to go holiday, get a cheap flight over to mainland Europe, sorry, you can't be seen advertising that. A nifty new car, you cannot be seen advertising that. This is all going to kill us. So we have councils now wanting to stop that. But it's no surprise that happened, because the United Nations head, Antonio Guterres, put up a post on X saying that we should stop advertising of fossil fuels anywhere publicly. And all together now, the chorus began from all continents. It's funny how that happens. And, you know, we've spoken of the Wellington Council today. We've spoken about this handy guide by the Vamity and Timaru Councils today, nudge units at Wellington Council. UK councils stopping, some of them stopping fossil fuel advertising. Antonio Guterres, the United Nations head, had always said that when Agenda 2030 or the Sustainable Development Goals really come to your door, they'll be implemented by a local government. That local government is a key partner in Agenda 2030. Mm. But if you still have people saying that, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, well, you know, they got some reading to do.
Got a lot of reading to do. I mean, yeah, you got to take your hat off to people like Tom DeWeese in the States, who's taking these people on head on, but there's plenty of them around the world, and we'd like to think we're part of it as well, to be honest, Jaspreet. But when you've got the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres calling out coal and oil and gas corporations as the godfathers of climate chaos, I would suggest that he could be accused of being the godfather of climate communism. What say you?
100%. Climate communism.
You just get sick of this guy's output. I hope he's called out, he and all his ilk. And as I said, they should be exiled to that colder place in the mid-Indian Ocean that I've got for them, that rock over there somewhere in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Oh, God.
I know, I take it. I know it sounds frivolous, but these people are costing us every moment of every day. Everything you buy, everything you have to pay a bill to the state or the local government for, is costing us because of this nonsense.
It's costing you your present. It's costing your children the future. If you go back and listen to the gentleman named Ross, whose presentation Don and I spoke about in the right while you opened the show this morning, it's a great listen. He was speaking at the LTP submissions hearings of the Christchurch City Council. He really lays it out for you.
And isn't it interesting, the supercilious grins on the faces of some of the councillors, it sort of says to me that you have to be brave. You have to take that stuff on. There's going to be lots of people like them who you've got to influence to get the realism into their bones, effectively. And of course, we're guilty of it by perhaps reading stuff and taking it in ourselves, but we don't exactly spread the message because, yeah, we sort of think other people must be sort of keeping up. Surely they are. Surely they're reading the same stuff. But I think it's to our detriment. We don't take enough people with us on these little expeditions we go. So look, let's hope RCR is getting the story out to more and more each week. That's the key.
Absolutely. And it's time for Don and me to get on with the rest of the show. Yeah. We have two more guests coming on today. This is Owen Jennings, a past guest who's been here with us recently, about a couple of weeks ago, and this will be part two of his story. And Don, what will he be talking about?
Well, he's going to talk about why the reforms of the mid-80s that affected agriculture so badly at the time were so vital. And he was at the forefront of that. And, you know, it's once over lightly, as it was in the second part of his interview, where he talked about how he and his wife did their mission work in about 12 different countries, disadvantaged countries around the world. And, you know, Owen's just one of those good guys, just puts his best in everything he does. So look, listen.
Absolutely.
He's a good listen. He's got a mountain of knowledge. So yep. We'll have him after the break.
Absolutely. And after that, he'll be followed by ex-Wellington City Councillor and lawyer Sean Rush. And we'll be speaking about the inquiry that's currently underway on the coastal adaptation, which is effectively managed retreat, a legislative framework for managed retreat across the country. And if you haven't heard of it before, you've heard it now. The submissions on this inquiry, and I know we all have consultation and submissions fatigue, but here's another one for you, the keen ones. This ends on the 16th of June. That's the Sunday coming, 11:59 p.m. So we'll be talking with Sean Rush about what's the problem with that inquiry, where are we heading to? So that's next after this break. Thanks so much for joining us on Greenwash this morning. 2057 or email us at inbox@theratereality.radio.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.